You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Alright, this is the MGB review of Primetime Pro Wrestling, hashtag Butch vs. Gore, from March 7th, 2020 at DC Brow. Today is actually March 18th. This might be the last wrestling match we'll go to for quite a while, Mason. A lot of matches have been cancelled. Since we left this, we thought we were going to be going to ones the next weekend. They all got cancelled. Flying V just announced they've been cancelled for March 21st. I think the only thing that hasn't been cancelled is, at this point, UEW, which is on April 25th. So that's still over a month away. But they actually did cancel their pizza buffet they talked about, because they were going to have a pizza buffet with the wrestlers. I think that might be a get-together of more than 10 people. I think that was this weekend. So I think they made the right decision.
You go to the supermarket more than 10 people.
It's also a much bigger area, and you're not touching, but you're not sat right next to them either. I'm hoping. If you go to the supermarket, I'm hoping you're in a separate area.
I still go like to if baseball you go, practice.
Well, you did, and I don't necessarily think that was a good idea either, but it was less than 10 people. All right, so this one, like I said, we missed the last few because we've had tickets to other events, so we're excited to go to this one. I really wanted to see Effie. And when I realized we were going to miss him on the, I think it was the fifth event, I was like, oh, what, really? And then the fourth event. And then the fifth event, same thing, we missed it again. I was like, oh my gosh, we're not going to get to see Effie. And then when I saw he was at the sixth one, I was like, yes. And actually, he was scheduled to appear at the seventh one, which has also been cancelled as well. There was an event May 10th in DC. That one's been cancelled.
Is he probably a regular?
I don't know. It certainly looks that way. I guess if he's champion, it makes sense, right? If he's the 51st, now I know he's the 51st state champion. I was like, oh, well, obviously he's going to be there for a little while. Doesn't always work that way. Cheeseburger was a champion at Crab Wrestling, and then I think he lost it the next event. And I'm not sure if they've had another event since, actually. So it doesn't guarantee it, but certainly it was. It looked like it was going to be. And as we got there, we had to wait for a little while. We got there a few minutes early. We were third row for this one. And as we sort of sat down and we looked around, I was like, is that Effie back there? Like, I wasn't expecting him to be at the merch table. Like, normally, I consider Effie a big star. I was thinking that he would kind of come out at, like, halftime or something, because I know that his match is going to be in the second half. So I was like, he's probably not going to come out right at the start. And, yeah, he was there. So you want to talk about it?
We got a picture.
You think? It was that memorable.
I remember we got an autograph.
We got a picture. We got an autograph.
I remember the picture. Mm-hmm. And because I like the spikes on his jacket.
Yeah, so we picked that one. I think he wrote on it, Mason, we made it. Because we talked about the fact that you couldn't actually get there to the previous ones, and we really wanted to see him. I also talked to him about the Queen's Court as well. That's a podcast that he was interviewed on. And I said I was the person that asked him the question, hey, can you tell us more about not knowing about you going to be 51st state champion? Because he said everyone was really surprised at how surprised Effie was. And he said, yeah, he didn't know. So we talked to him. I asked him that question. So really cool guy. Really cool guy. He didn't have his 51st state championship belt with him at the time, so we said, hey, we'll come back later, because we wanted to kind of see that and get pictures, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about that later. At the start, there was a drag act. I think it's called Pretty Boy Drag, as far as I can tell.
The boy drag.
I got Pretty Boy. Well, at Twitter, I saw it at Pretty Boy Drag, so
yeah,
I'm thinking.
Yeah, but they called him out as Brett the Boy Drag.
Oh, okay. Unless that's one of the people who was part of the group.
And that's what it said on their shirts.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay. Do you want to describe what they did?
As the announcer called it, they did a queer skit.
They did, yes. And for a minute, I was like, oh, I thought they were going to say a different word, but they said skit. Yeah. Although there was some other language in this probably event that we probably won't be talking about. And, yeah, they did that. They kind of talked about what the event was going to be, and then... match one. I was surprised this was match one, actually. Trish Adora and Ashton Starr. Now, this was for the Fight Club. I think it's PORD WC Championship. I'm still not sure what that organization's called. It might be both those two things. And to me, Trish Adora's a big star. I was not thinking that she was going to be the first match. And it was for 20 minutes long. Now, we've talked about both these people. Ashton Starr was also at that Fight Club event, which actually we released that episode last week. So you can always go back and check that out. So let's go straight into it then, Mason.
Before this, Lolo and Billy started talking and then O'Shea starts interrupting them.
Oh, I'd totally forgotten that part. I didn't take... That's why you're the one who takes the notes. So, yeah, I totally forgot about that part. Yeah, they were explaining what was going to happen. And as he had already challenged him to the... he'd already challenged him to the Primetime Pro Wrestling Championship. I think that's probably why O'Shea came out. And yeah, I thought that set it up pretty well.
So Trish changed your shoes from the last time.
No, actually, we should actually have talked about that on the way in. Because we were talking about Trish Adora, and I was like, oh, I'm going to check her shoes, because you said you had the same shoes as her, and then you gave a correction. I said, oh, we'll mention it on the next podcast.
I meant to say that that my friends had those shoes, but they are wrestling shoes.
Uh-huh. And she never did.
Because I wanted those shoes, but they were a little too expensive.
Uh-huh. But she changed her shoes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the same
I think they were like Vans or something like that.
Yeah, it looked just like a casual shoe rather than a wrestling shoe. Because I was ready to take a picture, and I was going to take a picture of your shoes, and that's when we found out that, oh, perhaps you didn't quite speak as you meant to last time.
Over the Rope Half Canadian Destroyer by Ashton. And Ashton, he forks, not let go. He's going for the handshake, and then he doesn't let go, and then Trish Adora comes out on top of that, and Trish gets stars in a rocking chair, which is kind of like, you pull the arms back, and then you have the legs up, and then you...
So not a literal rocking chair, then.
Rocking chair, and then you sit on top of them.
Uh-huh.
And it's more like a bobsled.
Okay.
And he rolls over for a kick out of a kick out. And Trish wins with the rocking chair because he taps out.
Okay. I remember the match was over 10 minutes because I know they were like 10 minutes in, 10 minutes to go. A few things on Twitter. At TrishAdora202, thank you so much at Primetime Pro. It's always an honor. Hashtag Sunflower Retains. At It's Actually John. And still, you're at Pord_WC Champion, at TrishAdora. If you want to start a show off hot, give them Trish versus Ashton as a star. Hashtag Butch versus Gore. And I thought about that afterwards. I was like, they kind of do that actually on the WWE events, I think. Like on the pre-show, they often put the 205 Live guys up there who are really high energy, and it like gets you build up for the actual main event. So for that reason as well, I was like, okay, that makes sense. I can see why they put them up first. At AEWDude1990... Trish Adora202 and Ashton as a star put on a great match. Respect to you both. And there was a lot of very positive comments coming from that one. Match two was Danny Jordan versus Ronnie Nicole. Now, this one was only 10 minutes, which I thought was kind of strange. If you have a 20-minute match and then you go to a 10-minute match, normally it's kind of like the other way around. So that was a little strange to me. Now, I didn't know who Danny Jordan was ahead of time for this one, so I did go and look up a few things about her. She stated in an interview she appeared in the 2007 film reboot of Baywatch, starring WWE's The Rock. Now, actually, I managed to find that interview. It was on YouTube. It was Women's Pro Wrestling Network. And it was after 1 year of being in the business, and it was 18 months ago. So she's been wrestling about 2.5 years ago. So she talked about she was just an extra in the film. So because I looked on IMDb to see if Danny Jordan was there or whatever, if that's a real name or anything, couldn't find that. But then it said on the video she was just an extra in that one. She's inspired by mixed martial artists such as Ronda Rousey and others, who made headlines entering professional wrestling. And as a fan, she stated her favorites include Shawn Michaels. And she's also worked for, Diamond Dallas Page in the DDP yoga business, it said. Now, I was pausing for a second there because I was like, what's this? She has a different name. Her last name is Jean Tet, or that's what I've got written down here, unless I spelt that wrong. I'm not sure. I noticed during the interview, she has a tattoo on her arm, and I was trying to keep like pausing the video and try to read the tattoo, but the quality of the video wasn't good enough. Anyway, there was some bonus material, and it did actually explain what it was. Whatever the problem, be part of the solution. Don't just sit around raising questions and pointing out obstacles. And that's a quote from the comedian Tina Fey. At Danny Jordan on Twitter before this, I've got 30 minutes of sleep in the last 2 days, but let's go. My debut at Primetime Pro Wrestling, and we don't forget, we are streaming live on at Indie Wrestling, and I forgot to mention that at the start for this one. All right, Mason, go ahead, talk about this match.
So Ronnie does an up and down stinky face, and this actually reminded me of when Tara Calloway and Brittany, I forgot her.
Blake.
Yeah, Brittany Blake were having a feud.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ronnie crushes Danny with a standing leg drop, and Ronnie just stares down Danny, and Ronnie misses the standing leg drop to turn the tables. Then three strong clotheslines by Danny, but Ronnie wins by a second rope jump.
Yeah, there was a big mismatch in terms of size for this one. Now, I don't think you recognize Ronnie Nicole. I've seen her at Infinite Pro Wrestling, and that must have been the one when... Because you missed a lot of those. I know I went one to myself, and I went one with just Jackson. So I recognized her from that one, so I know I'd talked about her on that before. I love Danny Jordan's burn book gimmick as well. Now, I couldn't remember that was from the Mean Girls film, but the fact that people were talking about her being mean, I kind of put two and two together. I think that film's 20 years old now, so I'm going to guess it's one that you haven't seen. And I kind of joked with people online. I put at MGB Graham. Did Danny Jordan just bring her homework into the ring? Now, I knew it wasn't her homework. That was pretty obvious. Anyway, oh, and she said, just for being ignorant, you're going in it. And because MGB is not a real name. Yes. So I'm in, technically, I'm in Danny Jordan's bird book, which I thought was pretty funny. From Twitter, at Queerosaurus, at Danny Jordan was today years old when she died. That was part of the commentary. Oh, I meant to say who the commentators were at the start. The commentators were Jason Heat, as normal, and also at Eric_Shorey. A lot of very positive comments about Eric and Jordan online. Not surprisingly, I know those guys have done a good job before. What else do I have on here? At Primetime Pro, we're so proud, just so beeping proud. We love you so much, more soon. That was in response to Danny Jordan. I want to go back already. I was like, oh, so she had a good time there. At Glitteritious, that's Ronnie Nicole. Y'all, I met hella people I only kind of knew about at Butch vs. Gore at Primetime Pro last night. And now know better and cannot wait to see again. Hashtag friends. I think that's friends. I'm trying to interpret. The intersectionality of the entire show and night brought so many uniquely connected people together. Believe the hype. Literally 2 days after... Sorry, 3 days after this, I started watching NWA Squared Circle Episode 2. I don't know if you know what that is, Mason. Mm-hmm. It's like a tryout show for people who are trying to get onto NWA. NWA is based in Atlanta. Danny Jordan's based in Atlanta. Episode 2, Danny Jordan. And she had the exact same gimmick. She had the burn book there and everything. She went down really well. She lost the match, but there is a vote, like, do you think this person should get another try or whatever? And she had by far more yeses than actually the person who won had yeses. So her character came across really well. Somebody I was very impressed with, for sure. And we'll probably talk more at the intermission. All right, match three, Killian McMurphy versus Angelus Lane. And I've made it, although I didn't take notes, I made sure I put this one in. I called the intro. I was like, is that Killian McMurphy's intro? And you, normally you're the expert on these, and you're like, oh, no, I don't think so. And then Killian McMurphy came out. So I actually called an intro on one of these.
I thought it was the Graham Scots.
similar. The Gaelic thing is kind of very similar in terms of their music that they have, so I could see why you'd call that. At Angelus Lane, I think this is on Twitter. Yes, her bio says, professional wrestler, newly repaired neck owner, I'll most likely haunt you when I die. So we thought Angelus Lane had retired, and then when she came back, I was kind of wondering, like, what happened? So I guess that's why originally she retired then. She'd obviously had a serious neck injury. Probably thought that was it, and quite a few other people have had those types of injuries.
Paige, Edge
is back now, but it took him nearly 10 years. Daniel Bryan, but he was out for, I think, 3.5 years.
My Christian wrestling figure, who has, like, a hole in his neck. So when you tilt its neck on the side, you can see the little plastic thing pop out.
Also, as the walk-in, it's actually John again. You know how everyone sings Judas, but then boos Jericho? That's how I'm with screaming Shooter and booing at the Shooter KM. That's Killian McMurphy. He's a great heel. We talked about this on Fight Club, how good of a heel he is. And same thing again. I think he's one of those heels. You just want to boo. He's just somebody you want to boo. All right, talk to us, Mason.
Mark Adam Hagatine. Was with...
All right, I got to correct you on that one. That sounds like every time I hear you say that, I think of the drink Ovaltine. It's not teen, it's tea. Haggerty.
Haggerty?
Yeah, it's not Haggertine. I think later we might talk about how you thought somebody was the Kaiju as well.
I meant to say Kaiju.
That's all right. We'll figure it out as we go along. By the third year, we'll be experts at this. All right.
Was with Ariella Nix and Logan Black.
Hold on, you're in the totally wrong match. That's match four.
Oh.
I wondered why you were talking about Mark Adam Hagerty. I'm sure he's not in this match.
Oops.
But
I read the wrong line. Angelus.
You got one line for this?
No. Angelus hit Lola with her jacket, and Rev catches Angelus's punch. Killian yanks Angelus's nose, and Killian jumps over her leg for a low blow, like. And Angelus won with a knee to the face plus lots of kicks and punches.
Now, the thing I noticed was on this, last time we saw Angelus Lane, she was clearly a heel. And this time when she came out, it was clear that she was a face as well.
It reminds me of Roman Reigns.
She got a big cheer from the crowd. It was like, welcome back, and there was, or welcome home even, possibly, as well. But she got a big... She actually made the heart symbol with her hand as well when she went onto the top rope. And after the match as well, same sort of cheers. Mm-hmm. And she did the same thing again. You could tell that she was kind of really moved by the reaction.
Kind of hard to be a heel when you're facing Killian McMurphy.
Yeah, it would be kind of pointless. Heel versus heel. No, it made perfect sense to book them that way around. At Angus Lane on Twitter, DMV, I missed you so much. You all know how to make a girl feel special. Thank you at Primetime Pro Wrestling for bringing me back to the area. There were some other incidents that were going on. There's some people who follow on Twitter would know this. At Angus Lane again, last night during the main event, I got the phone call that my oldest pup, Jackson, was attacked by another dog while at the boarding place. Oh. I didn't know how bad it was or if he was even okay. Sometimes we've got to swallow our emotions and do our jobs and then sprint out the back door. So I didn't even realize any of this until a few days later. She posted a pup date. He's home, he's happy, he's healthy, he's resting. His ear is a little torn up. He's got some punctures on the opposite side of his neck that didn't require drains. His top left canine tooth was extracted. He's a scrappy little boy. So, man, there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff goes on in wrestling that you don't always know about. People have obviously got issues that happen, and thankfully that was after her match. But
heartbreak.
Yeah, that was kind of bad.
Hi, my name is the Electric Ill O'Neill, and you are listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast.
All right, match four, the one you already talked about. Jordan Blade and Ill O'Neill, Kings of the District, who are the current tag team champions, versus Solo Darling and Willow Nightingale, that's Bird and the Bee, versus Ariella Nix and Logan Black. If they had a team name, I'm not quite sure what it was. I did notice at the start of this one, Mason, there was chance of Baby Hoss for Ill O'Neill, because he wants to be in the Hoss tournament. And take it away.
What's a Hoss tournament?
Big guys. Basically the big guys. Basically they're just slugging each other. So there's no flips or anything. They're just basically slugging each other the whole time.
Oh, like when Eric and Gunnar Miller were facing off?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, okay. That would kind of make sense, yeah.
Ankle lock by Ill O'Neill and Jordan Blade, and Death Valley Driver by Willow dropped onto the outside, but it was on the second rope. It didn't actually hit the apron. And Solo suplexes Logan onto apron and onto the others. And Ill caught by a suicide dive by Logan Black and thrown into the post. And a half Nelson suplex by Ill and roll up to Logan, and Ill retains with a slam.
Mm-hmm.
It was an elimination match.
It was, yes.
That's why.
Now, I'm kind of surprised I didn't find more about Logan Black. I don't think I've seen Logan Black before, so I normally would do a little bit of research. I did see on Twitter, at King of Chaos NYC, that's him. Hey, at Jason Heat FV, watching the hashtag Butch vs. Gore stream over, I quote, I heard Logan Black punched a nun. End quote. Those are slanderous words and completely untrue. It was a Buddhist monk and it was a headbutt. Please note it for the future. Thanks. He's obviously got a pretty good sense of humor. I added him as a follow, as I do with most of those people. But yeah, he's certainly an interesting character. I thought he put on a good show. I think the part, and I was actually looking through my notes. I don't know if you mentioned this. There was one part when they were all on the side and they were jumping onto like two people, and then the next person went up, and then they would jump onto three people, and then the next person went up and they jumped onto four people. I remember that because that was right in front of us. That was a pretty cool part in that match too. And Mark Adam Haggerty was obviously part of Ariella Nix. Now, I missed a match on this one because you told me, you were like, oh, don't forget, match five is actually Mark Adam Haggerty versus Lolo. Now, they didn't actually list this as a match on IWTV, so I'm calling it match five, but in a second I'm going to call the real match five was listed on IWTV. Go ahead, Mason.
I mean, they didn't have a real ref.
Okay.
Kind of. So, Billy Dixon was
so there. How did this come about? Tell us what led up to this match. This wasn't even on the card.
Lolo
so.
Was trying to end intermission, mm-hmm. and Mark Adam Haggerty was mad that he lost. And he just came out and makes a no DQ match with Lolo, and he has Logan Black and Ariella by his side. And Ill and Jordan make it equal, and then Billy Dixon does a spinning Death Valley driver for a Lolo win.
Mm-hmm. Now, he also mentioned the fact that he's a big star now. He's the announcer on Impact on MLW. So he's like, I'm such a big star, I can demand any match I want and make. He was playing a really good heel character. I really liked that side of him. That was really fun to do. They also had Kid Reffin for this one as well, I thought. I thought there was Kid Reffin at this point. And the reason I thought it was because I actually commented on the fact that they have that show on Independent Wrestling TV. And I said, oh, there's going to be a bonus episode of Locker Detectives. Whew, I'm glad I can remember the show because I know their Twitter feed is not PG. The name of their Twitter feed is not PG. On Twitter, I know a lot of you I know a lot of you know me through my work at Chikara Pro, so this promo on At Indie Wrestling probably took you off guard. Watch of all of hashtag Butch vs. Gore right now at independentwrestling.tv. Also, thank you to At Primetime PW for allowing me to spread my wings further than anywhere else. Yeah, that's not normally his character at all, so that was kind of surprising to see that. Also from At Mark A. Haggerty, two shows and one seminar down, 900 miles traveled and fixing to kick off the third and final chapter of this weekend with At 01USA. 5 hours sleep over the past 60 hours, totes worth it. So we've talked about Mark Adam Haggerty before, like he's traveled long distances on little sleep and he kept that going. I saw this one first and I was like, yep, same sort of thing. And then I saw Danny Jordan's 2 hours in 2 days. So I was like,
that's not so much. You said 30 minutes in 2 days.
Oh, is that what I said? I knew it was even less than that. I couldn't remember. At Primetime Pro Wrestling, after extensive negotiations and the input of several lawyers, this is DC, after all, it says in parentheses, parties of At Adam Haggerty and At Hellbender Low have agreed to let Mark ring announce in Tampa on April 2nd. Now, actually, that was the other one I should have mentioned, and that event has also been cancelled now, as have a lot of events. I know WrestleMania is still going to continue in a slightly different form, but yeah, a lot of those indie events have been cancelled.
It's going to look weird.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
They should make, their local wrestlers cheer on, so it looks a little better with a couple fans there.
Well, I think they're doing it for the money. I don't think they're doing it. And if they don't have the fans there, then they can't afford to put on the show. They're going to pay for the location, they got to pay the wrestlers, and it's not going to work at all. That's why a lot of people have had to cancel this.
It looks weird with no fans there, and there's no
WWE cheer. Can afford to do it, because they're obviously a $1 billion company. So they can ride this out. They got that huge deal with Saudi Arabia. It's a little different for them. But for the indie organizations, they just simply can't do that. And intermission was announced for 10 minutes. I'm like, my gosh, that doesn't give a chance to for the people to get... Because people have got to come from the back, so they get set up a little bit, and then sell stuff, and then get... And we had a lot of people we wanted to see for this one as well. I'm glad we saw Effie earlier, because his table was packed. All right, Mason, let's see who you can remember. Who did we see on this one?
Trisha Dora.
They were
filming.
They were. Do you want to tell us a little bit more what you mean by that?
Mm. So, when Trisha Dora was signing the 8x10. There was a guy just with a big camera filming us, and then when I got a picture, they were filming us too. But it's probably not going to go anywhere because they didn't ask us for me to be in there, and I doubt it's legal to put a minor.
Now, you're saying that. Now, you might not remember this then. At Baltimore, you had they have that section where they actually draw the caricatures.
The Japanese.
And you got filmed by a Japanese TV crew for that. They didn't ask permission either. We asked them, we're like, hey, what are you recording for? And they said Japanese TV.
Oh.
I think the starting picture was Japanese that day, which was part of the reason why. So I don't know. I don't know what the rules are with regards to that, but we would have signed a waiver anyway because you would have wanted to be on TV.
I don't care. They have to ask you at the Little League World Series. Remember when I put the mascot on the fence and they filmed it?
Yes. We were at a game, and you had a mascot, and there was kind of a camera around. I was like, hey, look, play with the mascot. And anyway, sure enough, the camera crew came over. And then you were about to go out on ESPN. And we called, I think everybody was at Grandma's house. And I was like, quick, record ESPN. And Grandma had no idea how to do it. And anyway, at that point, they hit back-to-back home runs. So we never got a chance to, because they didn't want to film those little segments in between. So we were like, all right, look, you got 20 minutes to figure this out. They never figured it out. They did come back. They filmed you playing with your little league mascot, and then they cut to the rest of the action. And yeah, we never saw it. We certainly saw the side of reality TV where what you see on TV is not what happens in reality. That took 25 minutes to record, probably a 5-second clip of a 6-year-old Mason playing with a little mascot next to the baseball game, and then they could zoom in on the action afterwards. But that was kind of a cool one as well. Okay, so we saw Trisha Dora. Who else?
We saw Eel O'Neill and Jordan Boyd.
We did. We saw that they actually, I don't think we've ever had one with a picture, an autograph from Eel O'Neill. So that was the first one we wanted, because we actually had Jordan Blade at UEW. And actually they had the team one together, the Kings of the District. So I said, hey, do you want a King of the, and you said, yeah, I want a King of the, to me that makes sense anyway. You've actually got a bonus Jordan Blade autograph as well there. So yeah, we got that one. We got a picture of their belt as well, because we got to see that, because he couldn't take that up to EWA Maryland. And we did also get to see
Danny Jordan,
yeah.
Oh.
You're not going to mention anything about Danny Jordan? I'm quite happy to tell the story.
It's okay.
You want me to tell the story?
Yeah.
All right, so she's starting to do her thing. And she looks up at me and she's like, I normally write a mean comment at this point, but you're like, I don't think I could do that. And I was like, yeah, you can. I was like, I'm the one who's paying. I want you to write a mean. I just don't want to Danny. If the whole gimmick is mean girl, I don't want to just sign in Danny Jordan. I actually looked on Twitter. Other people have posted like their pictures as well. And I was like, no, I want a mean one. So I think yours was good luck on puberty, which I thought was really funny. So I'm glad that we got to talk to Danny for a little bit as well. And that pretty much was the 10 minutes. I would say we saw three people. The lines were pretty big. And we went back.
This is the one, the only, the reigning, defending, prime time pro wrestling champion, the big, bad kaiju O'Shea Edwards, and you are listening to the MGB podcast.
Match 5. Now, I was surprised this was match 5. O'Shea Edwards versus Billy Dixon. I assumed this was... I kind of forgot. Effie and Faye Jackson was talked about as the main event, but I assumed this would be like almost like a co-main event or the match before. But I guess, once again, it's a good way after a little break to get the crowd fired up with a big match. At Mr. Polonin on Twitter. Hadn't seen the new mask and entrance music for At All Damn Day O'Shea until last night at Primetime Pro Wrestling. And damn, didn't know of a way for him to be more intimidating, but he found one. Yeah, I really like that mask. I hadn't seen that before as well. But yeah, when he comes out, you could tell it was him because he had the necklace on that he always has on. And you could tell it was him. But I liked it. I definitely think it adds a dimension.
The new Fiend of Primetime Pro.
And Jay Lee Photography had a picture of it as well, which of course looked really cool. All right, talk to us, Mason.
So Billy throws O'Shea into the post, or more like pushes him into the post. Mm-hmm. And it would be pretty hard to pick up O'Shea and throw him into a post.
Yeah.
An F5 for the ref, and it was a 3, and then that's it. That's all I have.
Okay.
It was quick, I remember.
At Billy Dixon on Twitter, I asked at All Damn Day O'Shea to take me serious, and that is exactly what he did last night. But he also knows why he had no other choice. This isn't the last time I will see you across the ring from me. Congrats, champ. These guys will be good examples of hosses. Two really big guys.
Oh, yeah.
Just a lot of strength. At Primetime Pro Wrestling, after his successful title defense at hashtag Butch vs. Gore, Primetime Pro Wrestling champion at All Damn Day O'Shea will be challenged by at Dashing Chris Bay. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen now on April 2nd, so I'm not quite sure who the next opponent's going to be. I guess we might hear that soon. I know there is an event for April 25th, which as of now has not been cancelled, as far as I know. That's the day when we're supposed to be going to UEW. Shazza McKenzie has cancelled, though. I'm going to guess. I think I saw she's all the way back in Australia, so I know international travel is obviously a difficult thing.
This is Savage Gentleman Victor Benjamin, and you're listening to the MGB podcast. And I'm also pro pancakes. Waffles suck.
Match 6, Still Life with Apricots and Pears versus Lady Frost. We've talked about these people multiple times, Mason. Savage Gentleman, obviously ringside as well. Go ahead.
Lady Frost plus Victor in suicide dive. When Still Life jumps. And Victor knocks Apricots and Pears off the ropes. And Victor got ejected for throwing snowballs. Even though and it only hit Lady Frost. He only hit Lady Frost, so he only hit his own partner, and he still got ejected. And it must have been a foreign object. Then Apricots and Pears does a missile drop kick off the top rope for the win.
Okay. At Real Savage Gentleman on Twitter, when you save your wife and on a Kobe at the same time, hashtag now that savage. That refers to the point when Apricots and Steel was on the ropes. He knocked him off and he was walking around the ring like he'd made his shot like Kobe does with like the arm twit. I got a shot of him doing that as well. I thought that looked pretty cool. He always gets involved in matches, even when he's not in a match. Like, you can't help but watch what he does. Even if the main focus is not on him, you kind of want to watch him as well, because there's always something good going on with him. I really like that side of his character, that he's not just standing there, he's actually doing something that makes you want to watch. Match 7 was an elimination match featuring Russell Rogue, Erica Lee, MV Young, AC Mack, Devon Monroe, Jared Evans, and Kareem Mink. That was the name that I wrote down on your sheet.
Russell Rogue was funny.
I got one thing. Russell Rogue came out first, and his intro was, Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears. And then they played some of the other entrances as they came through, and there was another person. I'm not sure if it was Devon Monroe, but he had the same introduction. It was that Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears, which was kind of funny. I don't know. There was a lot of people on here. It was the first time I'd seen. Kareem Mink. Now, I don't know if that's the order they came in or not. That was the other lady.
There was I got Devin. There was one more man that I didn't get, I think, or two. I got MV Young, yep. Devin Monroe.
Jared Evans?
Jared Evans. AC yes, Mac? That was him. He appeared on a different show that we watched. I forgot what organization it was on, but we watched it with Matt.
Oh, he appeared on the, did he appear on the Eel O'Neill quarantine thing?
Yeah.
Oh, Jared Evans was on that?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I told him.
He was the one with the black pants and the gloves on.
Oh, if that happened, I totally
and
missed that.
Faced, I don't remember.
I don't remember. And we didn't actually, we were kind of chatting with Matt rather than actually taking notes for this one. So it was kind of a slightly different event.
I remember, it's on a thing, I remember Jared won.
Okay. All right. Now, I don't actually have anything for this except for afterwards, so go ahead.
Corrine, right?
Yeah.
I didn't get her name. Clotheslines, Cutler, two different people. Oh, a clothesline cutter, not cutter.
I was going to say.
Cutter.
There is a wrestler called that.
He did a clothesline uh-huh. and then a cutter at the same time.
Because we talked about Jay Cutler before, because he's from where is he? Santa, he's from... What is it? Santa Claus, Indiana or something?
I remember talking. And then you mixed it up with the Dolphins.
Brandon Cutler? I don't know. But
Jake
yeah.
Cutler and Brandon Cutler. Yeah.
Something like that. All right.
Devin, he's thrown to the outside and no name, which must be Jared, jumped off MV Young's back to the outside.
Yeah.
And Russell tapped to the crossface and Kareem eliminates the guy I don't know his name by a blue bomb, and Russell shakes Devin so his dingo goes onto the buckle. At least it wasn't his mouth. And there was a three-layer super duper plex, and MV eliminated by no name because actually there was a guy who came out and they didn't announce his name. That's why I called him No Name.
Oh, okay.
I remember that now. And No Name does...
Well, he came back out. Wasn't that Russell Rogue? Didn't he get eliminated and then he came back out and interfered?
No, I thought that was Russell Rogue.
Oh, okay.
No Name does a lumbar check. AC steals the pin on... Yeah, Erica Lee.
Oh my gosh.
I can't read
MGB
it.
Favorite Erica Lee.
No, nice. I meant... I can't read my notes because I have to write so fast because there's so much going in the ring mm-hmm. because there's seven people
yeah.
and the match was only like, it was a 20-minute time limit
yeah.
for a seven-person elimination
yeah.
match.
I remember people saying that at the start. They're like, 20 minutes?
Oh, and I forgot before, I didn't write it down, but AC Mack made Lolo hold up two belts for like 10 minutes.
He did. I totally forgot about that for his promo. He was not happy about being involved in this match because he said the rest of the people were like newcomers. He's like the champion down at Action Wrestling.
Erica Lee's not a newcomer.
She wasn't making a debut at Primetime Pro Wrestling.
But she's been wrestling for like 2 years.
She has. But with AC Mack having two title belts though, and it's like their sister organization kind of. Like, he felt he was being disrespected. Obviously, that's his character. And that was a...
I was so mad that I forgot to bring my AC Mack card. I think I have one. I got one from the. You gave me the independent wrestling cards for my birthday.
Yeah, I got you like 90 cards. It was like 30 a month, and yeah. I got you like 3 months worth. Yeah, and we didn't know. I said ahead of time. We'll have to look through to see that. That just reminded me of one thing I didn't write down on here. I saw Lolo post on Twitter as well. There was some kid that she was with on that day. She made her hold up two dolls in the air, like the two bells. So I guess that's Lolo's things now. She has to hold up the things in the air, which was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. And she must be a ref now, so she can hold the people's arms up in the air. No Name kicks out of so many false finishes, and a double knees to the face by him, and AC Mack wins with a pedigree.
Mm-hmm. All right, a lot of things on Twitter. I don't envy your job of having to talk about this one. There was so much going on, and I think there was quite a few new people on this as well, and I think that was why I knew this was going to be a long record anyway compared to some of the others. I think I just left this out. At Kings of Chaos NYC, first time seeing a lot of people work last night at hashtag Butch vs. Gore. At It's Russell Rogue and at the Devin Monroe were hella impressive. Go out of your way to check them out. At It's Russell Rogue, thank you for your kind words. Regardless of whether we are friend or foe, at the Devin Monroe and I are committed to changing the darn game. He didn't say darn, though. At the Billy Dixon, can confirm that at next year's Butch vs. Gore, we will have the Britney Spears Open Invitational, where everyone in the match will enter one of her bops. The politicking of this match has been more cutthroat and fierce than anything. Hogan tried in his prime, loves it, teehee. This match is going to have more participants than the beeping Greatest Royal Rumble. He actually didn't put Hogan. He actually put H-star G-A-N. But I figured it was that. At Glitterishus, that was Ronnie Nicole. Already booked. Song already selected. Choreo already memorized. At Britney Spears, I will pay homage, Queen.
Isn't she the one who sings Ronda Rousey's theme song?
I don't know. And after this one...
It's Joan Jett.
Joan Jett. After this one as well, AC Mack won the match. And like I said, he wasn't happy. And he said, I want a match against O'Shea. Because he's the champion. AC Mack's champion of action. Yeah. And the crowd immediately start chanting, O'Shea's gonna kill you. O'Shea's gonna kill. It was really good. I liked that one. There was an announcement of tickets at this point. It said pre-sales for the 25th. Talk to me or Lolo. Lolo was shaking her head and just pointing at Gator like, I don't know anything about this. Go talk to Gator instead. And match 9, the main event, Faye Jackson versus Effie. I did write Effie's theme was an Elton John song, and I meant to check it out so I could add it to our playlist, and I totally forgot to do that. So after we finish recording, I need to do that. We've talked about both of these people multiple times, so I don't know how you're going to do that. We talked about this, I posted on, as I was researching, I was like, there's a lot of things in this that perhaps weren't PG. I was like, I don't know how you're going to include them on a PG podcast. And I think you asked on a few as well. All right, the stage is yours, Mason. Give us the PG interpretation of Faye Jackson versus Effie.
Effie hands over the belt and he says, it's okay, I'm going to get it back anyway. And Effie can't get the waist lock around Faye Jackson. And she puts her behind in Effie's face. And it spilled onto the spilled outside into the barricades. And Faye dances.
I thought you were going to say her backside spilled into the outside.
Okay. And Faye dances provocatively.
There you go. That's a PG phrase.
I don't know.
I think I gave...
Yeah, you gave it to me. You were the one who
wrote it down. Good job.
You
listened to me. I like it. Wow.
You told me to say it, but I had no clue how to include that into the podcast. And there was a dingo throw off the top rope to Effie, and a dingo grab submission, and Effie retains with the roll-up angle, and Angelus comes out and stared down Faye.
Whew. I think we got through it. We're not going to get caught off the airways.
What's poppin', baby? It's the new classic of professional wrestling, Billy Dixon, and you are listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast.
Now, after this one, that was the final match. Everyone started to leave. We had to hang around because we got to interview O'Shea Edwards. We asked him, I think he was trying to get 3,000 followers. You're the 3,000th follower. I use your account. I cheekily asked him, as you got 3,000 followers, could we possibly get an interview? And he graciously said yes. So we'd arranged, and we said we can do it before, afterwards. And he said, hey, that's fine. So we waited until after the thing. People were still going up actually and doing merch afterwards as well, probably because they only had 10 minutes and there was a lot of cool people that people actually wanted to go talk to. There was a lot of people who'd never been to a wrestling match at these events as well, and having seen some of the people in the second half, not surprisingly, wanted to go talk to them. So we waited for a little bit. We saw O'Shea. We said, hey, we're good. We can see everyone's still there. We'll come talk to you in a little bit. And we just kind of hung around and watched. We got to see the ring being took down, and there was still a lot of people there, even 30 minutes later, which I don't think normally happens on those. And then O'Shea disappeared, and we're like, oh, his table's gone. They packed his whole table away. And we're like, did O'Shea leave? Anyway, we figured he's probably just gone, and we'll come back later. We saw Billy Dixon. We got a picture of him with his Chocolate City belt.
Oh, that's
because
cool
we wanted
belt.
That. And we've actually got a bump as well, which you'll have heard earlier in this episode. We then talked to Savage Gentleman as well, asked him if we could get a bump from him as well, which he did.
A picture of all the people with the belt except Effie wasn't in it.
Oh yeah, right at the end there was some special photographs. Yeah, we got some really cool photographs. They were doing official ones, and we were there, so we just took a picture.
We got a picture of Effie's belt.
We got a picture of Effie's belt. Yeah, he kind of walked off to the back because we were going to ask him, is it okay? And I was like, he obviously doesn't mind if he just left it there. And we asked him earlier and he said it was fine. So we took a picture of the belt. So we got that. And we asked Savage Gentleman, have you seen O'Shea? And he said, oh, let me just call him. And it just went to voicemail. So we're like, we'll just wait around a little bit longer. And pretty much nobody was left at this time. They were putting all the chairs away. And O'Shea came back out. And we found a place to sit in the court. Just as we sat down near here where his table was, you could hear like the brewery. It suddenly got really loud. So we went to the far corner and we started the interview. We played part of that interview actually on the Fight Club Pro episode. I asked him a question about Trisha Dora. So I thought that was relevant for that episode. So I played that there. But certainly after the conclusion of this, we'll play the whole interview so you can hear that as well. at Independent Wrestling TV. Oh, sorry, at Indie Wrestling. That does it for at Primetime Pros, hashtag Butch versus Gore. Thank you for joining us on this truly monumental event, and we say monumental without hyperbole. At last check, hashtag Butch versus Gore was trending as low as number 16 overall in the entire United States. Now, I actually talked to Matt about this on Good Cop, Bad Cop, and we weren't sure if it was just DC, but no, that's the whole of the US, and it was trending as low as 16, so it was higher than that at some point. So that's pretty impressive.
I'm confused. Like, Butch versus Gore, is that like...
That was the name of the event.
Oh, out of, like, all the wrestling events?
No, that was on Twitter.
Oh!
Not just wrestling Twitter, on Twitter. That's incredible. Yeah, amazing stuff. Lolo on Twitter, keep remembering this happened and holy beep. At classic_AED, what a fantastic show. Hashtag Butch versus Gore trended tonight and was an amazing event from top to bottom. Primetime Pro Wrestling continues to raise the bar for indie pro wrestling in DC and now for the nation. At heel Will Mahoney, just going to reiterate my biggest takeaway from hashtag Butch versus Gore. This was the most fun at Primetime Pro Wrestling show yet. At Hellbender Low and at the Billy Dixon, hit it out of the park, and a giant thank you to at the Mr. Gator for giving them the keys of the car. Needless to say, run this back. At Scott Nickmore, I got to say that hashtag Butch versus Gore may have been my favorite at Primetime Pro Wrestling show yet. Big props to at the Billy Dixon and at Hellbender Low on their hard work putting together such a fantastic show. At Holy Jose 2391, I'm so happy for at Hellbender Low and at the Billy Dixon. You two put on a heck of a show and showed why wrestling is for everyone. At Primetime Pro Wrestling is something special in the Grapital region. At DanLore83, I cannot find words to describe hashtag Butch versus Gore last night. The amount of love and passion that went into it cannot be explained, and it showed from all participants in ring and out. At the Brendan V, okay, so hashtag Butch versus Gore, beeping slapped. I love my LGBT plus wrestling family. I have never felt more accepted than I did tonight. I didn't have a conversation with anyone, and yet I felt like I was where I was meant to be. I truly can't express how appreciative I am, so all I can say is thank you. And at the Mr. Gator, in days to come, there will be some backlash from certain corners of the wrestling world, including someone whose initials are suitably BS. I think that's Brad Shepard. About hashtag Butch versus Gore, so please just spell Primetime Pro Wrestling correct in your hit pieces. And I didn't see anybody complain about this one, actually.
There is something that 8th graders do in art class where they have their, like, they have their name or their nickname. And then they make their letters, and the art teacher asked what the kid's name was, and what his nickname was, and it was Big Steven, so his letters were BS
as well. Yeah, no, I didn't see anyone come up with anything about this one in terms of negativity. I only saw positive comments. I read more positive comments than I normally do at the end of a show, and there was a lot. Everybody, I would agree. I said to you as we were leaving, to me, that was the best Primetime Pro Wrestling show we'd ever been to. And actually, ones we've seen on TV as well. And yeah, that show, it just gets stronger and stronger. And yeah, I thought it was a great show. And I hope there is a Butch versus Gore 2. I think that'll be really good next year. Yeah, it just shows you can do different things in wrestling. Certainly, the Effie and Faye Jackson is not a traditional wrestling match, but thoroughly enjoyable. When they move, I wanted you just to talk about it. When they moved around the ring, they were on the outside for a long time. You had to stand on the chair to see part of what was going on. It was just that feel of, woof, it's right next to you. And it was exciting to watch. And it was totally different from what you would normally see in a match. All right, anything to add in before we play the O'Shea interview?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, O'Shea. We really appreciate it. We thought 5-10 minutes. We got nearly 20 minutes. And we said, I actually asked you, Mason, later. I always say, what was the best thing that happened? And you said interviewing O'Shea. And I, as good as this event was, I have to agree with you. Talking to O'Shea was really cool. All right. Boom.
Today we have a special guest, Primetime Pro Champion, the Big Bad Kaizu, O'Shea Edwards.
Yeah, man. What's up? What's happening?
All right. You're leading this off, Mason. Go ahead.
How did you get your nickname, Big Bad Kaizu?
Well, so Kaizu is a Japanese movie genre. Like Godzilla and all that good stuff. And in Japanese, they're called Kaijus. And so everyone always calls themselves like a monster. He's like, I'm a monster or whatever. Well, I'm bigger than a monster. I'm all of them. So I call myself the Big Bad Kaizu. I call myself the King of Kaijus because it's one thing to be a Kaiju, it's nothing to be the king of all of them. So, and it kind of stuck, and then we've been kind of rocking and rolling with it ever since.
Have you ever had any injuries?
None that have kept me out of the ring. I've had some playing football, like broke my pinky here, so like that one sits straight. That one doesn't. I've torn my knee playing football, but like I said, nothing outside of wrestling other than being like cut a few times. Like nothing has really kept me out indefinitely or anything. We had to cancel stuff like that, you know.
What is your favorite match or matches?
Oof. I tell you what, my favorite match is got me wanted me to be a wrestler. Shawn Michaels versus Shelton Benjamin, Monday Night Raw. I think they're like the second match is the Gold Rush Challenge. And that match top to bottom is one of the best matches I've ever seen. And I'm a sucker for like moments, you know, like no one really remembers like all of the matches, but you remember like the moments. And Shelton Benjamin springboards from one side of the ring to the other, and Shawn Michaels catches him in midair with a super kick. And it wasn't so much the move, it was the reaction from the crowd of just like, wow, that was, and ever since then I was like, I want to be a wrestler. It took me a little bit, but here I am, so I'm happy about that.
So, if you could wrestle against or with anybody, who would that person be?
Ooh, that's good. That's really good. If I could wrestle against anybody,
I tell you what, if I could wrestle against anybody in their prime, I would love to wrestle Ron Simmons. Love wrestling against Ron Simmons. A lot of stuff that I do is almost emulating off of Ron Simmons. Even like his WCW days and all that stuff, I loved it. After Ron Simmons, it would be The Rock. As a kid, he was always my guy. And then honestly, if you know, I guess if I had a wild card, if I could wrestle Shelton Benjamin, I would really like to. I got a chance to speak with him before, and I told him he was the reason why I wanted to wrestle, and he kind of looked at me like, really? I'm like, yeah. And I told him because of that match, and he just sat there and smiled, and he just laughed, and he goes, I never would have guessed. I'm like, ever since I saw that match, I'm like, I'm in. I'm so in. So yeah, those are my top three.
I'm gonna jump in with a comment here. I think it was Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah.
He said he always gave his best every time because he never knew. Somebody could be seeing him for like the
first time, right.
And same, I think, with wrestlers as well. You never know when somebody's seen you for that first time and when you're going to inspire somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So and if you would have told me 20 years ago that like I'd get to meet Shelton Benjamin and have him critique a match and shake his head, I'd call you a liar. I call you like, cool. You were such a liar. Get out of here. You crazy man.
How does it feel to beat Billy?
Felt good. It felt really good. I get to beat anybody. It feels really good. I like winning. Winning's awesome.
I got a question. What would you have asked if that hadn't have happened?
Billy would be here, not me. Billy be sitting here, not me.
What is the difference between wrestling in the Ring of Honor dojo and regular wrestling training?
The major difference is television. Like today, about 400-500 people, like deep, loud, right? When you're wrestling in front of television, it's a little different. There's a lot more production involved. Because you'll have, let's say, 1,000 in an arena somewhere, right? Which is great. Awesome. Who doesn't want to wrestle in front of 1,000 people, right? But we also got to think about the million people sitting at home. We got to make sure that they have the best. Because if you're at home, you always have the best seat in the house, right? It's your house, whatever. So it's not so much of we're learning how to wrestle. It's now transitioning from wrestling in front of 500 to wrestling in front of 50,000. Or 5,000 in the arena, but 5 million at home, and so on and so forth. So there's more intricacies, because now when I train, everything I do has to be big. Because the issue becomes now is if you guys sit in front row, you get to see the small stuff, right? But does that guy in the upper deck, does he get to see the small stuff? Right. So now I have to, even the small stuff has to be big. I've done indies for so long, but so I get integrated, like, oh, I'm just used to doing it. It's like, no, we can't do it like this anymore. We have to now entertain the guys in the upper deck. Because those guys, they bought a ticket too. You got to show what's going on. So there's so many cameras going on, and there's so many hidden microphones that you don't see that picks up everything. So a lot of that stuff we have to. It's not so much more about wrestling. It's becoming more of a production, in a sense.
So is that training with promos and things like that too?
Yeah, just training with promos. Looking in, and it's not looking at the camera. You got to look through the camera, because you have to assume that everybody you're talking to is holding onto their microphone, hovering over that buy button. Or you're watching it, and I need you to convince your dad, like, Dad, I need you to buy this because I saw O'Shea, and I really want to see him like punch somebody in the mouth. So I have to talk through the camera with that type of stuff. Realize, okay, there's also microphones here. I have but so much time. I'm probably going to start really getting into my communications major here. But the magic number is 7. You have 7 seconds to connect with you or to connect with you.
Wow.
If I don't connect with you guys in 7 seconds, guess what you guys are going to do? Change that channel. That's it. And in this is the year of instant gratification. You have a phone, right? You have the internet in your pocket. You can do anything. You have YouTube. And if something bores you, guess what you get to do? Not watching this. On to the next one. So everyone's always vying for that attention. So we're learning ways to kind of like not only get your attention, but then keep your attention. So there's a little bit more intricacy is that most places don't really teach because most places don't know. If you're not on TV, you don't teach TV. That type of thing.
All right, now I got a question from Jackson because he's not here. I'm not sure if it's a question or a comment. He's a little from left field.
All right, that's fine. I love it.
So as far as I can understand, I should have just recorded him asking a question and played it for you. He wants to know, why don't you do a gimmick like Orange Cassidy? Now, when I say a gimmick, he doesn't just mean any gimmick. He wants to know, why aren't you Orange Cassidy? Now, I don't know how... I know in terms of podcasts, there's certain questions you get asked over and over again. I'm pretty sure you've never been asked before, why don't you do Orange Cassidy's gimmick?
Because there's only one Orange Cassidy.
I would agree.
Because if he's doing it, the best thing about it, there's no one else doing it, so no one can tell him that he's wrong. Because if I did Orange Cassidy, guess what? It's like, you're not doing it right. That guy does it better than me. And I'm like, yeah, this is silly. Not doing this.
I wanted to lead off from that, though.
Yeah.
Have you had any other gimmicks? Because since the time we've seen you, it's been pretty similar character. We've seen you for like 2 years now.
Yeah. So I started off with the silver tongue just because I could just talk really well. But eventually I had to get to a point to where, okay, what can I do if I don't get the opportunity to talk? So I just have to be big. I have to be bad. So, you know, and let the crowd kind of define that within themselves or what that means. And it's worked. And if it works, you kind of keep doing it until it doesn't work anymore.
Cool. So that makes sense. Now, if Jay was here, I would have asked him. I would have said, "Hey, do you remember Crab Wrestling, Jay? When we were front row, there was no barricade.
And I almost crashed into him.
And you said, I've never put the brakes on so quick.
So hard in my life.
I was going to ask then, most nervous you've been in a wrestling ring or the most dangerous? I don't know how to phrase it. Nervous,
I was,
dangerous, crazy position you've been in?
Oh.
You know where I'm going though, right?
Yeah, the most craziest position I've ever been in was for the Scenic City. And I took a Canadian Destroyer off the top rope. I've never been more scared in my entire life, but it happened so fast that when it was over, I was like, that was awesome. I don't want to do it again, but that was awesome.
I don't think moments get much bigger than that.
No.
I think you've
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure where I saw this. I'm not sure. I know I was looking back recently. I think it was a Washington Post article.
Okay.
I think you talked about the fact that you being able to wrestle is in part because... your wife.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so my wife is my biggest supporter, hands down. She knows what a man I am, and if I want to go do something, I'm going to go do it. And so for her, it's like either I can support him and let him go do it, or I cannot go support him. I'm going to go do it anyway. but it's she knows that. I think after like the second time she saw me wrestle, it clicked. It's like, oh, he's good at this. And then she started understanding, like, oh, if he makes it, we make it. Which I've been like, duh. But she, like I said, she's been my biggest support. She's my biggest cheerleader. She's also my biggest critic. If something sucks, she will tell me something sucks. If I'm getting kind of pudgy, it's like, hey, and you want to ease off those powdered donuts there, fat boy? No, that's the... But even still, like, she has a way to say, hey, let's work on this. Okay, cool. So she keep... But, you know, she keeps me going. Like, when I do merch, I ask, like, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, this looks good. And then I you know... So everything I do, I do funnel it through her. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, she eats pretty well. Because if I do well enough, she's like, can we go eat? Yeah, we can go eat.
There you go. So there's that motivation.
That's it.
Now, when we started MGB Wrestling Podcast, we originally focused, our first event was Nova Pro.
Yes.
That was where we first saw you.
Yes.
We saw you at Sink or Swim.
Yep.
I had to look it up because I couldn't remember who you fought. It was Cameron Action.
He was my tag partner. Chris. Oh, I can't. It was, I knew he's a tall, white guy. And then Irving Legend.
Correct.
Yes.
Chris Walter.
Yes.
So I was going to ask you what you remembered about that Nova Pro event. Because I don't think we were, I think we were just reviewing at that time. That might have been our second ever event.
It was such a long show.
That was only half of it. We stayed for the evening as well.
Oh, it was so long. And I was like, why is this show so long? The match itself was okay. You know, it was nothing. It was nothing, you know, I write home about.
Uh-huh.
I was like, but at the same time. But at the same time, it was like, it was just me to get out of the South. So me and the wife kind of made it a weekend where we flew into Baltimore, drove into Virginia,
uh-huh.
and just spent the weekend. And that was it.
Now, it was interesting because you just got bought something by Savage Gentleman.
Yes.
I was going to talk about it. Looking back, we actually watched your match. Well, I watched your match again recently because I was looking for some other matches.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And I watched a few matches. Some of the people on the card that day, Savage Gentleman.
Yes, that's where we first met too.
Steve Manders.
Yep.
And after that, a few less people who we've actually had here today, Darius Lockhart.
Yep.
Billy Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Blade.
Yep.
So that's going to link into, you know, like, I got a little segue going on right here, Mason.
Yeah.
Fight Club a few weeks ago. We didn't even know you were going to be there.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise. What can you tell us about Trisha Dora? How significant of an event is that?
It's huge. I feel as if just putting in words, I do it an injustice by trying to put it into words. The energy in that building. That building is not even half the size of the building we're in now. But the energy, though, could be matched. Like, everybody in here, like, you couldn't touch what was going on there. Trish winning was such a moment because it's a thing of, like, little black girls have someone to look up to. If you go back and look at those pictures, there are little girls who are just wide-eyed. Awesome. Just like, what? Because growing up, as a black male, there's things that I was told I couldn't do because there was no way before me to do it. Sometimes the hardest thing we have to do as human beings is forge a trail that no one's never done before. It's one of the hardest things that you'll ever have to do because there's no roadmap. There's no work. You have to do that work. And because of that is why it's so hard. That's the reason why so many people quit, because it's hard. But for Trish to have this moment in the sun and everyone's just like, all hail the queen, it's huge for everybody, regardless of who you are. It's just look who is at the forefront of all of this. Look what she has done. Look what she's continued to do. And it's inspiring. I wish I had a little girl. Just so I'm like, look at this. I hold her up like Simba, like, yes. I love it. Every time I see her, I swell with pride. It has nothing to do with me at all, but I just see it, I'm like, yes. It's such a great feeling.
Even just from a wrestling perspective, I told her today, that last 5 minutes of that event holds up with anything I've ever seen anywhere.
And everybody was on their feet and against that ring.
And we saw you all come out and hit in the ring afterwards. The fans were going crazy.
It was real. It was all real,
amazing.
Man.
Yeah, it was amazing. All right, last question. Last genuine question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw, I think it was IWTV.
Okay.
You and Nick Iggy.
Yep.
You had a chicken challenge.
Yep.
Hot sauces. And I told Mace about it. I think I got to, it was supposed to be 10 questions and 10 hot sauces. I got up to 7 and you were suffering. You were eating bread.
Oof.
I never saw the end.
Oh,
can
boy.
And what happened? I assume Nick Iggy won.
No,
did
we
match to 10?
We both finished.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to lie.
There was some cursing after 7.
Yeah, Mason. You can't watch that, brother. That gets adult real quick. How do people do that? I don't know. I was so mad because Steve McCash, we're friends.
and it really tested the binds of our friendship. Like, why would you do this to me? We're supposed to be friends.
You can drop out at any point, right?
Oh, yeah. But I ain't no punk. So I was like, I'm here now. I don't want to eat these hot wings. I'm going to do it. And when I was done, I went to the bathroom and scrubbed up like I was going into surgery. Like, I'm just, guy walks in the bathroom, what are you doing? I'm like, this doesn't involve you, man. As I'm putting so many of my fingernails, like, I just want the pain to go. Now, no, granted, like, after about 15 minutes, I was fine. But I'm like, you want to do it again? I'm like, you want to get punched in the face? Like, you will, but yeah. But no, it was fun. I mean, it ended the way it should have. I cussed Steve McCash out on tape, off tape. And then we became friends again.
All right, so being a teacher, favorite teacher?
Oh, dude, Mr. Johnson. Ninth grade geography. Mr. Johnson had a way of engaging students, and really, he had a way of teaching them the way they need to be taught, because you can't always just put the square peg into the round hole. I thrived in his class, and I always have my heart for Mr. Johnson, ninth grade geography.
This is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we're going to get some positive. And everybody I talk to, when you think about it, there's normally that one person.
Yeah, I always remember Mr. Johnson.
I thought it made sense for that one.
Yeah.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Geography. Probably because I made 100. I made 100 both semesters, and it was like, yeah, geography. I like geography. I love, like, traveling, that type of stuff. I still know the 50 states and capitals, which blows my mind. But yeah, and that's like, it's a credit to Mr. Johnson, the way he taught me. And I loved it. I always have a debt to that man.
And did you do any sports during school?
Yeah, so in the fall I did football. In the spring I did weightlifting. And then in the, in the winter I did weightlifting. In the spring I did track. I wasn't running the 4x100. I was doing the shot put and all that good stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, and then in college, I played a little bit of football in college, all that good stuff. But eventually, I'm like, this is for me. And I probably dropped out of school after that, because the only reason I went to school is because I decided to play football. When you take away football, it's like, why am I here? And so I left. But I'm currently back in school to kind of finish up what I did start. I kind of owe it to myself. So I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'm going to school for free. Why not? Yeah, sure.
Do you get to meet Nyla Rose at Fight Club?
I did. It was awesome.
He was very excited.
Yeah, it was awesome. We had a nice little talk about everything. And so she gave me some kudos and all that good stuff. And I was very happy. You know, it's one of the things that's humbling when you get to see, you know, when you see your peers get to eat, as I like to call it. So, yeah, I did. It was fun. Yeah.
Thanks, O'Shea, for coming on.
Dude, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, man. That was fun.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.